Irene Kelly has a brand new album out, Benny's TV Repair. At the time of our conversation, I'd never heard of this happening before, and I still haven't. 7 songs from Benny's TV Repair were on the Bluegrass charts at the same time. And we just discovered this on the day that I was talking to Irene. She discovered it. I discovered it through the same outlets. And pretty amazing feat, pretty amazing album. It's Benny's TV Repair on Mountain Fever Records. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Irene Kelly. I'm very happy to welcome back to Unreal Bluegrass Irene Kelly. How are you, Irene?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing great. Good to be back with you.
It's always good to talk to Irene. You're one of my favorite people. And then today, just today, on the day that we're talking, I see the news that of this album that we're going to discuss, Benny's TV Repair, which is on Mountain Fever. Irene, there's only 11 songs on the album, and 7 of them are charting right now.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
I can't.
That's just the coolest thing.
I've never heard of that, not just in bluegrass. I've not even heard it in any chart of any kind of music genre.
Wow.
Have you? I mean, not even Madonna, I don't think, has 7 of them.
No. I've not. But I'm sure happy it happened. You know, bluegrass radio has just been so great to us, and getting the music out. It's just wonderful. And, you know, every time I'm out playing, folks are saying, oh, yeah, I've been hearing you on the radio. So it's, I'm so grateful for that.
I'm willing to bet money, Irene, that this has never happened before. I just can't imagine. We would have known about it. Somebody would have said, remember that year when one person had an album out and there were 7 songs on the charts at the same time? That's crazy.
It is crazy.
I'm thinking there might be an investigation after this. I don't know. That's just my legal mind, I think. And,
okay.
No.
I'm going to take a screenshot and save it, so.
It's so great. It deserves it. It's all great. You mentioned
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You mentioned bluegrass radio, but you weren't trying to tie it in, but you have a couple of songs that have come out as singles. One, I think the first one I remember is something about a train song.
Yes, that's correct. That came out in November before the album came out. I wrote that with Terry Hurd and Billy Droz, and we wrote that just one afternoon, just telling the guys about how much I love the sound of a train and how it just invokes lots of good memories and that sort of thing. So we were just off and running on that.
Were you raised around a train or just have become attached to the sound, or did you have
a childhood? Well, I don't have any. Yes, there was a train near my grandparents' farm in Crabtree, Pennsylvania, but there wasn't a train near my home, which was only 7 miles away. And I didn't have anybody that worked on the railway, but my grandfather was a coal miner, and the train that ran behind the house would carry the coal. So that's all part of where I grew up. It's a small town in Pennsylvania.
I did grow up near a train, a couple blocks away from my house where I grew up as a child. There was a train, and not only did we hear it all the time, and it does echo back, as your song does, such a nice point of making about there's not something about a train. I don't know what it is that touches us when you grow up with it, but we would also walk the tracks as a way to get from one place to the other. It was faster than going through the woods.
Yeah, right. And you had to be really careful about what time of day you did that.
Yes.
Especially if you were up over the water.
There were sometimes we had to jump off of the tracks down the hills. The train would come around the corner. But that's not what your song is about. But in other words, I get the sentiment of the song is that the train is a big part of Let me ask you this. Singles seem to be, is it just my imagination, or is this the way that this particular Mountain Fever does it, or are other labels doing this thing where singles are being released in advance of the actual full CD? Because you did it with Bluegrass Radio, too, I think.
Yes. Well, I think everybody's doing that right now. You know, they're putting out the single while there's still time to finish up the album. I was still putting harmony parts on the record when Train Sound was out, and still shooting the front cover and deciding on how that was going to go, and really deciding what to call the album. My first choice was Benny's TV Repair, and we'd gone around to a couple different ideas for a title, and that one came back to me very strongly. I'm really glad we went with it.
You mentioned,
so it gave me time to think through all that.
It also, releasing a single in advance kind of builds up a little anticipation.
I think so, too. And, you know, we presented that to radio, and everybody at radio, you included, we really appreciate that. It's just been so supportive. And that was really the only song they had to play, and they played it. And then Bluegrass Radio, they played that one as well. And even after the album came out May the 11th, when the entire album came out, radio continued to play Bluegrass Radio and Train Sound and really focus on those two songs.
Sometimes
that doesn't happen after an album's been released.
No, as a matter of fact, and I asked this question of artists who have albums that are released, you know, single, and then the album drops. I've asked this before, and I don't remember who I was talking to, but they felt like it didn't bombard the on-air people with how many songs to choose from. Like you just said, if they only had something about a Train Sound, that's what they played when they wanted to play New Irene Kelly. So
yes.
Instead of having to choose from one of 11...
That's true, yeah.
I think it's an interesting concept, and I think it serves many purposes, and I think it works really well. It certainly did for...
I do, too. We're such a small genre of music. It's always good when we can figure out a system that works for everybody, you know? And I think that does. And now everybody's free to play whatever they decide they'd like to play.
And they've been playing a lot of them because 7 of them are showing up. I have to keep coming back to that because I've never heard of that happening.
I know. Isn't that crazy? It's totally crazy. And then the Grassafana chart, which is a fairly new chart that's
right.
been established for a little left of center bluegrass.
I contribute.
Some of my stuff falls into that.
I contribute.
And the one song that has an electric guitar on it actually made it to the Grassafana chart. It's a song I wrote with my daughter Justina and Steve Cropper, the famous Stax record icon, who wrote Sitting on the Dock of the Bay and a bunch of other songs, and he's just amazing. And he's playing electric on that one, and that's on the Grassafana chart. It's also on the top single of the Bluegrass chart.
They're all good.
So,
yeah, they're all good. You mentioned a little bit the album cover, and before we went on the air, you were talking about that album,
yes.
the album cover becoming something more personal to you, and that it represents something more than just an album cover.
Yes, that was somewhere there is a picture of my dad, Benny, the TV repairman, sitting in a shop in our basement with a sign hanging overhead. When it came time to put the record together, I couldn't find that picture anywhere.
Oh.
I tore my house apart, and so did all my siblings. And it was so clear in my mind that that's what needed to be on the front, but I couldn't find it. So I have a really good friend who's an amazing graphic artist. She just found a stock photo of a repair shop and did a lot of changes and added some things, took a lot of stuff out. There was just a ton of wires and things like that, and then she put me in there, and I said, yes, that's it. And we painted that sign, actually, at her Christmas, at her kitchen table, and took a photo of that. Annie Getzey took the photo of that, and we put that in there as well. So it was a combination of things to get that album cover to be what it is, and it was all intentional, and it was all very sentimental. When I look at it, my dad could be sitting there. I mean, it looks exactly
really?
What his shop looked like. Oh, yeah. He had the tube testers and the scopes and all the stuff, you know, and the soldering guns. And I mean, I know about all those tools. And I watched him work for hours. Another thing he had in that shop was a radio that played country music all the time. And so was a big influence on me, too.
Is there any significance at all to the time on the clock on the wall?
It's not. Nothing, no.
All right.
That clock was actually huge in the picture, and Heidi took it and shrunk it down.
5 to 5.
Yeah.
He probably never...
Right?
The song is about... Is the song biographical? I mean,
it is.
It's about a love. It's about a love, and Benny gets a course and studies and does this out of his house. Is that your childhood?
That is. I always say my dad was the guy that fixed everything, and I didn't know that there were people that did things for hire, like painters and plumbers and electricians. I just thought dads did that stuff. And when I found out, I guess I was around 11, I found out that there were people that did those things for hire, and he was so good at it, and you know, he kept my car running when I turned 16, my little Pinto. But I think at some point in all that, he got a little bored. He'd mastered it all, so he decided he was going to learn how to fix TV sets. And this is before the internet, and I think now we'd have an online class that would maybe take a couple months. But he sent away for that course, and he'd get a book in the mail. He came all the way from California, and when you're living in Pennsylvania, that sounds like another part of the, you know, the other side of the world.
Right.
And he'd get that book, and he'd study it, and then at the end there was a test quiz. He'd fill that out, send it back in, and wait for them to send the results with another book course. And it took him 2 years to do that. At the end of that 2 years, he got a certificate, and he was set to go. And he made a shortwave radio, which you can appreciate that. It's tubes. I still have that radio, and actually it's on the back cover. There's a picture of just some inanimate objects, and the radio in the on the cover is the one that my dad made.
Oh,
it says right on there, National Schools.
Yeah,
that's
I see that.
Yeah. Well, that was one of his, I guess, his tests that he had to do. And then at the very end of the 2 years, he had to make a TV set from a kit as well, and he did all that too. And he soldered all the little condensers and put the tubes in and all the stuff, you know. And now it's funny because TV sets, you don't fix them, you throw them in the trash. They're basically unrepairable and disposable.
They're monitors. They're just monitors that receive a signal,
yeah.
And all those things behind them that he used to fix don't exist anymore. They're just flat.
That's right.
Yeah.
It is. I just often wonder what he would think of the way it's all evolved. You know, he would have something to say about that, I'm sure.
How old was your dad when he passed away, if you don't mind?
72. He had Lou Gehrig disease.
Mm.
Because he was a renovator. He did a lot of work at the school, and he was always dealing in asbestos, so we always had a theory about that.
Oh, yeah.
He worked, he lost his eyesight about 10 years before he passed, but that didn't stop him. He just retrained himself. He was still changing the oil in everybody's car.
It's a beautiful song, and it's about that story of your dad and the accomplishment, and also the relationship with your parents.
Yes, he was very much in love with my mom.
That's great.
It was a good thing to witness. It was a beautiful thing.
It is. I wish everybody could witness that growing up. They don't always, but when someone has those memories, it's just a very, very special thing, I think.
Yeah, indeed it is. Yes.
We've talked all about Bluegrass Radio. The second cut on the album was the second one released as a single. And Bluegrass Radio, I guess, is... you just mentioned listening to the radio as a child, country music, and it's harder and harder to find bluegrass radio. You know that. It's harder and harder to find radio, over-the-air radio. So we're struggling to keep bluegrass on over-the-air.
Yes, I know.
And it's out there. I'm out there over-the-air, but it's harder and harder to do it. But we like to think that all those little radio stations around the corner And the ones that many are volunteers that go in and turn the lights on and start it, and they have a bluegrass show in the morning or a weekend. That's pivotal, I think, to keep them. But it's hard to do it. It's hard to find people to do it.
I can imagine. Sure. I mean, I say that when we do the song. I say, you know, this goes out to everybody who is spinning bluegrass music from a full show or just 1 hour a week. You know, we appreciate all of it. And you have to look for it.
I appreciate the fact that you did that song. It's difficult, and I know there's people who have it much worse than I do, but they do it because they love it. So I guess as long as there are people loving playing the music, and that you will still be on the air, certainly. But I mean, trains. This is odd now. Trains. Not so many trains anymore. Not so many bluegrass radio stations anymore.
Yes, I know. Time gone by, and there aren't any TV sets that you can fix either.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
It's a sentimental. Thread going through the record.
Well,
I mean, that's just,
and there is a lot of that. Although Cabbage Head is it's not so much sentimental. Although maybe that was a time when you know, people call it the Kid Cabbage Head. Maybe that was an okay thing to do in your city or your neighborhood.
Oh, more than that. Yeah. There's a whole story behind that, Steve.
Okay.
Yeah, more than that. My Cabbage, they just called him Cabbage, but Cabbage Head sings better. But the intent was Cabbage Head, of course. He was my mom's childhood friend, and he was slow. My mom was one of eight kids on a farm, and she was the oldest girl. And there were three girls and the rest boys. And my grandparents had a farm that had a big barn. And the men would come in off the train from the Depression. They'd sleep in the barn. And my grandmother would feed them. So she was a very charitable woman. She's a Polish immigrant. So was my grandfather. She got to the States when she was 14. And their cabbage was over the hill on the next farm, and he was not treated well by his family. His father was really cruel, and he was hungry. So when he would wander over to my grandma's farm, she would tell the kids, "No, don't you be mean to him." And you know, she set the food out for him, and so they were taught that. And I remember hearing this story, and I couldn't believe that this happened, and I said, why didn't Grandpap go up there and have a word with them? And my mom said, well, back then, nobody got involved. I mean, you just did what you could do. We showed him kindness. That's our best way that we could deal with it. But back then, you know, it wasn't the same. And so I said, well, I was riding with Bobby Taylor. I said, we need to make him a hero. We got to turn his story around, and he's going to live in history now as a hero, where he saves everybody. And I have one aunt who's still here, Sister Andrea Verchuk. She lives in Virginia. And I sent her the song, and she called me crying one day. She said, honey, that's the best thing you could have done for him.
Oh,
he
my.
Would be so happy.
Oh, my.
Great.
Isn't that something? Yeah,
yeah.
There were kids who had names as you're growing up, and it was just a normal thing. You didn't, honestly, if you're a kid saying that and you haven't been told different, and they respond to nicknames that pejoratively or whatever, it's just one of their names. But the reality is, it's got to be painful to
cabbage.
It has to be painful when he's not around or the other person isn't around. So it's a great story. You have so many different Thunderbird. I'll tell you, we haven't talked about Thunderbird yet. I saw the name as I'm opening up the album. I see the name Thunderbird. Car comes to mind. That's not it. When I was younger, I worked in a packaged liquor store, and there was a very cheap alcoholic beverage called Thunderbird. that you could buy for 50 cents, is what I remember. It wasn't that. And then I thought, there is a myth of Thunderbirds out west, and it's kind of a mystical thing. And the ones I hear are, you know, they're like really tall, and they make a thunder with their wings. This song is more, is kind of a mythical bird. I mean, you can explain it. Yeah, go ahead. But what did you base it on? What did you base it on? Because I've heard stories of Thunderbirds that are, you know, allegedly late night radio. I hear about them more than anywhere else. But
well, I wrote the song with Billy Smith, who's an amazing songwriter. Billy is Terry Smith's brother, and the two of them are a force to be reckoned with as writers and artists in their own right. And he brought that idea over, and he goes, Irene, I have this idea, and here's a little melody. And he had this four-string guitar that was tuned in a minor key, and it just sounds so cool. And he said, I have this little lick to go with it. I don't even know what it means. And he said, fly to me like a thunderbird. I said, well, I know what it means. And because I have a great respect and reverence for Native Americans and their culture. I just think it's just so cool. And I love the West. And a thunderbird is actually, in the mythical stories, is a cross between an eagle and a phoenix, which is also a mythical bird that raised from the ashes, from a rebirth. So for me, on an emotional level, that meant something really important. And we just, you know, it sounded like a prayer. It sounded like a Native American spiritual prayer. And we just wrote that song like in an hour. It was just a gift. It was really great. It was a good day for us.
The thing I like about you, Irene, is not that just that you're a nice person, but you have these stories that motivate you and the songs involve them so much, and we could talk forever and ever about
it.
I love the detail, and I love the resources that you pull in to write these things. And thank you. Like you said,
I love songwriting. It's really just a wonderful thing.
You, Out of Arkansas is we don't talk about each one of them, but Out of Arkansas is the story of it's a young lady sort of finding her way.
Yeah, that's a true story there in itself. You know, we lost our dog, Lester Sharp. We had him for 14 years. And we waited a year to go venture out and get another dog. So found one in Arkansas, little Penny. She was 6 weeks old and just precious. She was a pound and a half. So Justina, my daughter, and I drive to Arkansas to get her. And she wasn't well when we got her. We didn't realize that. We thought maybe she got car sick because it took us 9 hours to get home from Conway due to a semi accident and a rainstorm. And so all that, those imagery, that's all real. And she was so sick when we got her home. So then, of course, the next day when the vet opened, that's the first thing I did. And they helped her a little bit, and she just went down again. In the matter of 24 hours in our presence, we finally got a diagnosis that she had parvo, and we had to put her in a hospital, and she didn't make it, and it broke hearts. But, you know, we just imagined that she was in a place that wasn't so good. At least we got her out of there. And Justina says, you know, Mom, at least we got her out of Arkansas. So I said, well, there's a song in that, but I don't think we're ready to write it yet. At least I'm not. Let's give it a little time. And I think we can make her a young lady trying to escape. And, you know, just it was a little bit of time. It wasn't a fast write. It had to kind of simmer. And so that's where that story, we just personified the puppy and she was going through and getting her out of there, but also made it a good thing that she gave probably what we pictured a not very good environment.
No, she had love around her when you got her home, and she didn't.
She was a sweetheart. We have another puppy, by the way, and it's all good. And she's a mess. She's a good ball catcher.
well then she doesn't sound like a mess if she knows ball.
Well, she's good about that, but she has so much energy that sometimes it's just,
You meant a disciplinary mess.
Yes, okay. That's what I mean.
I think we talked about your dog when you were at the radio station. I think so. When
you stopped.
You were, well, Lester we talked about, but then I think that I knew you had another dog because there was a video. Wasn't there a video, but it wasn't, I don't think it was Lester, was it? With that song about Lester?
Yeah, Lester, I hadn't, when I saw you, because Nate was with
Nate,
me.
You and Nate were traveling through town.
Right. Mm-hmm. I didn't have another dog yet.
Okay.
We were still in that period of trying to get over Lester. He left a big space.
Yeah.
He had some big shoes to fill. The one before Lester was Topi. But I think what you're thinking about is, the song "These Are the Eyes," and we did a little video
that's
with Lester
what it was.
In it.
That's what
yeah.
it was. Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah, it's cute. That was cute.
The
Hills of Home, again, it's kind of a you're always, I'm not saying you're always reflecting back, but I mean you do pull on, and I'm going to bet that those have moments in that song, as probably all of these do, that relate to experiences in your life and the Hills of Home and just the feeling of being home and returning and being there.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I still go back to 1982 when I played with Red Wing, and we played Ralph Stanley's Hills of Home. So that was a big part of that song, the imagery there, and standing there listening to Larry Sparks. You know, that was a big impact on a 19-year-old me.
I would think so.
Yeah.
He's still doing it. He's got some new stuff coming out.
I know. He still sings so great. So much soul.
Here I want to do this when I'm talking about anything to help you say goodbye. That song kind of tickles me because you're talking about, or the singer is talking about, you know, whatever you kind of need as we're separating to make yourself feel better about what's happening. Use whatever terminology or your way of dealing with it, whatever makes you helps you say goodbye. And you in the song, as I recall, it talks about a couple. You could say this, or it doesn't talk it like this, but. You know, here's some options for things you can say that helps you say goodbye
Yes.
But they're less than... I take the song as this. I'll tell you however you want. Listeners can make up their mind. But, you know, here you can say this, you can say this. You're avoiding the real rant, reason as to why this, why you're having to say, why this person has to say goodbye or leave, or be asked to leave. But you're just kind of throwing up some... I can't think of the term to describe it, but you could say this or you could say this, but you never really say, or you could just say what the truth is.
Yeah, that's right. And the way, well, we wrote that, Justine and I wrote that with Steve Cropper, and Steve's amazing, and he is such a lyrical genius. I mean, I sat there when he, you know, we were just working that first verse together, but then that second one, he basically just spat that right out, and you know, the line, you might need it, you might change your mind. Like, I won't let you hurt my heart because you might need it another time. Mm-hmm. I mean, who would think of that? That was the coolest line. And but it's all those things that you mentioned, but with a very different way to say it. And that a lot of that was Steve on that lyric, right, in that mm-hmm. little spot there. And that's what's so cool about co-writing. You know, you just, somebody comes up with it and takes it out. You go, oh, yeah, that's it right there. That's
well, and you, there has to be that trust. You have to know the person that's writing so you have that. You're able to defer
yeah,
the choices they're making without any sort of ownership of the previous whatever
yes.
that you're working on. That's a great space to be in. You've mentioned Justina a couple times. I don't know that the audience understands. That's your daughter. Mm.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
My oldest daughter.
And she's,
yes.
she's writing. Is she singing? I know she shows up on some credits for writing
yes.
songs.
She's singing harmony on Bluegrass Radio and on Train Sound, on several things. She helped with the recording process. She's also really good in the studio. She's helped record some of the background vocals and edits and moving things around and making it work. She does do that on Music Row with her partner, Eddie Gore. So she has a production company that she
wow.
works at almost every day. Yeah, she's a talented gal. She goes out and plays with me whenever I can get her, when there's enough space in the band, and we have, when she doesn't have a lot of things going on in town, I can get her to go with me. We just played Festival of the Bluegrass, and we had a really nice long set, so I was able to feature everybody in the band that sings, which is quite a few folks, and they're all great. And she sang a song in French that really goes over well, and it's funny because there's always somebody there from Europe when we play a show. And as soon as that song is over, they find their way to the stage. It's great.
Did you put on a workshop in Lexington with Aaron Biebelhauser?
I did, yes, with Aaron and Arthur. Oh, gosh. He wrote the wonderful song Glory Bound, which I absolutely love.
Well, we'll find out who he is later.
Yes,
but Aaron drove up here last week from Louisville, which is about an hour from where I live, except it took him 4 hours for traffic, but we had a nice visit and went to dinner afterwards. But he mentioned he was going to be with you or around you in the Festival of Louisville.
Yes.
So he writes some good songs. I thought it must have been a fun session.
It really was. Arthur Hancock.
There you go.
And I believe that Aaron and Arthur were both in the Wooks together. And they have a really great sound. I just love the music that they created. I can see where the Wooks got their sound. I don't know, maybe it's a regional thing. I mean, sometimes that happens with music, but they're definitely both digging from the same dirt, and it's really cool. I love their sound.
If for people listening, we just talked about Justine, but I'm talking to Irene Kelly here on the show, ostensibly about her new CD, which has 7 hits on the charts, which is insane. It's on Mountain Fever Records, and he's kind of casually talking about the project as a whole. And I always enjoy talking to Irene. Listen, the last two cuts, Faster Than Angels Could Fly, and then the last one, Walk With Me Today. This question has nothing to do with either one of those. Faster Than Angels Can Fly describes, you know, we're living our life and fast. Just meaning quick, that we're doing these things. And at the time we were living our life faster than angels could fly, meaning whether or not they could actually be where you are. The last song is Walk With Me Today has a nice religious feel to it. But here's what's my question to you, just because they happen to appear one after the other. Have you ever encountered, first of all, do you think that humans encounter angels? Secondly, do you think we know it at the time? Thirdly, do you think they know, or is it just an angel? I have a story that I could tell you some other time, but in other words, just angels in general. Do you feel like one of them intercedes every once in a while in our life and then moves on and maybe don't know who they are? Maybe you understand what I'm trying to get to.
I do. I'm thinking on that. I don't think in terms of angels. I know some people do. Now, my mom did. She used to collect angels, and she had a whole curio cabinet full of Hummels and different angels, and she just had a real love for them. I always feel like, for me personally, the Holy Spirit is really strong in my life and a presence. That would probably be more about the song Walk With Me.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
But I think of the term faster than angels could fly. You know, I saw that bumper sticker a long time ago that said, never drive faster than your angels could fly. And I think that maybe that's what happens when people have car accidents and they don't do so well. They weren't being mindful and they weren't paying attention to their earthly limitations and maybe their angel couldn't keep up with them. That's what that conjures for me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if I see angels. I've had premonitions and I've seen things that I thought might be specters.
Well, I haven't seen, you know, angels in the classic sense of, you know, there's a vision and there's wings and everything, but I just for some reason those two things together, not related songs at all. Do
that's an interesting question.
Do angels pass through? I think things have happened to me that make no sense, and then I'm thinking that person has not been that their whole life, but maybe for that minute they were, and somebody saved me from several times in my life some really bad consequences, and it was kind of out of nowhere, but it was someone that I knew. But I'm thinking, well, that's not what they would have done if they had seen me on another night. I don't know. Those two things came together when those songs are right back to back.
Well, there's definitely a spiritual realm that's going on.
That's
good. Hard to explain.
We'll accept that as my explanation also, because I never understood it. But the last tune, Walk With Me, is much more personal as far as the Holy Spirit and your own feelings about that.
Yes. Yeah, it's a prayer. It's you know, anywhere, anytime, asking the Holy Spirit, God, to be with me and guide me. And because things can get crazy and the world can get loud and be pulling on you in different directions. And sometimes it's hard, it's easy to lose sight of a spiritual center.
You put so much into your songs, and I said this before earlier, but one of the reasons I can't wait to get an Irene Kelly album is I know the songs have so much depth to them, and I know that when we get a chance to talk, you're going to help me understand what was behind them, and that's what you've done so well, and that's what I really appreciate about these events.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks for asking.
Sure.
You know, it's glad to shed some light on where these songs came from, and maybe somebody will find a parallel story, and it might be helpful to them.
That's what I think. That's what I think these things are for, these conversations are for, is to help people understand it, may shed some light. And plus, maybe a week from now you'll have 8 songs in the chart instead of 7.
Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't that be something? I don't know. Can't get any better than right now.
7's pretty strong. What did you do with the screenshots? You gonna print it on something and keep it somewhere, or just keep it on your computer?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've got that Walgreens app. You just send it over there and they print them up.
Absolutely. You have to do that. You got to do that.
Christmas presents.
That's right. Christmas card from Irene. That's perfect. Now we gave it away. Everybody's going to get it and know what it was.
Oh, that's right.
That's okay. Well, nobody will listen to that part. Okay. Irene, gosh, thanks so much for being available, and I can't wait to see you again.
You
have a website. I assume people can find out where you are and where they can get this fine new Benny's TV repair. It's probably easy to find, but tell them.
IreneKelly.com, and my last name is spelled K-E-L-L-E-Y. If you leave that E off, you're going to find another gal, not me.
And we don't want the other gal. We want you, so leave the E in. Very good.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, listen, Irene, always a joy. I enjoy what goes on in your head, and I enjoy the music that comes out of your heart.
Thank you.
And we'll see you again soon.
Hope so.
All right.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Bye.